Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, July 7th. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal. Too many Americans don't have any money saved for retirement. States are stepping in to help.
Essentially, you're taking groups of people that have had no options before this, that have worked for them, and now they have a plan. And the opt-out rate is very minimal.
Wall Street Journal contributor Bailey McCann will join us to talk about some retirement offerings from states. If you don't have a retirement plan, you're not alone. Millions of American workers don't have any money in a retirement account, such as an employer-sponsored 401k or an IRA, and aren't covered by a pension. But governments in a handful of states are filling the void with programs designed to get more people enrolled in retirement plans. Joining us is Wall Street Journal contributor Bailey McCann. Bailey, a lot of people don't have money set aside in a retirement plan. Why is that, and why is it a problem?
Yeah, you're right. The data from the National Institute on Retirement Security shows us that about 59% of working age people in America don't have a retirement account. There's a lot of reasons for that. Chief among them is that their employers often don't offer them. This is especially common for small business owners. It can be kind of difficult to set up a plan. And so there are, you know, many small businesses that don't have them. And so that means that a lot of people don't have retirement savings often, because then taking the next step and going into a financial advisor on your own can be very challenging, sometimes intimidating. It can also be expensive if you're starting out with no money or very little money, and you might not meet the thresholds for an advisor. So there is this group of people that are just kind of stuck.
In recent years, states have been trying to address the retirement plan gap. What are they doing?
Auto IRAs, which are emerging as the most popular program where you have people automatically enrolled in an IRA, have been around since about 2006, the framework for them. And it's taken a while to see uptick in these programs because states like to have a track record from somewhere before they do something. But there have been a few states that went ahead with it. California and Oregon, for example, have some of the more established plans. And essentially, if you have a business, a small business, medium-sized business in these states, you're mandated now to offer a plan. You don't have to pick the state plan, but the state plan is there to serve as a backstop for workers.
Okay, you mentioned the auto IRA. Colorado has put this in place. How exactly does it work?
States essentially work with employers that meet the mandate requirements, and they just sign you up. It's pretty straightforward. The employer sets up a payroll deduction. Because it's an IRA, it's an after-tax deduction. They don't typically then do any sort of employer matching or anything that people might have heard about through 401k programs. But it's just all automated, and it's sort of a set it and forget it thing for workers. So they don't have to figure out plans, figure out what they're investing in. They can just allocate on average about 5% of their paycheck every 2 weeks to go into this IRA.
How are some other states approaching the issue? There are some other programs, aren't there?
So there are two other frameworks that have emerged. The first one is a marketplace plan. People might be familiar with that if they have been on the health insurance marketplaces. It's basically the same idea. There's a bunch of financial providers. They're listed. People can compare plans, pick a plan that works for them, and set up their own deductions that way. That offers a little bit more customization, but it does require employees to take the next step, which critics worry limits the participation, again, because of the intimidation factor and because people tend to put stuff like that off. And the other is making it easier to do multi-employer plans. A couple of states have done this, which is basically where small businesses, for example, could come together in a group and get a volume discount, because then their plans are larger because it's three businesses instead of one. This can cut the overhead in terms of account fees, and it can make it easier to do some low-cost solutions that are popular through large employers because, again, they have enough accounts to make it work. But then you're also thinking and working with businesses to try and get them to join up, which has its own set of challenges, trying to get businesses to come together and agree on something that they might not have otherwise. There are some challenges there.
Okay, so 10 states so far are offering these programs, and a majority of the remaining states are considering offering them. And these programs are still relatively new. How are they working out so far?
So the early data is relatively positive, and Colorado, for example, did a study of what happened in California and Oregon with their auto IRA programs before they eventually picked their own. And enrollment is going well. There has been some slowdown in enrolling employers as a result of the pandemic. Those both states have extended their timeline to get people onboarded. But other than that, contributions are going up. It's like I said earlier, approximately 5% of the paycheck. The average contribution in Oregon is a little over $100 per month. And same with California. The data looks generally positive. I mean, essentially, you're taking groups of people that have had no options before this, that have worked for them, and now they have a plan. And the opt-out rate is very minimal.
Some of these retirement offerings have been controversial, like California's. Why is that?
There was a challenge with the a court challenge in California suggesting that the California IRA ran afoul of the Employment Retirement Income Security Act, which is a law that sort of governs a lot of retirement plans in the United States that already exist. And it's basically designed to provide some employer protections on how the plans are administered. The California plan is not an ERISA plan. It's an IRA. It's separate. So the court challenge in that case failed, where the court believed that the Cal Savers plan was different enough that it didn't really run afoul of these protections. But the core criticism is that ERISA plans have a basic level of administration and fiduciary requirements that aren't present in the state plans. And that's been a cause for concern, but there's no data yet or any reason to believe that these plans would have poor management or what have you.
Okay, so for someone with one of these plans, are there things to know about how to manage the money during retirement? Are there provisions to be aware of?
So the main thing to understand is that if you're in the IRA plans, it's an after-tax deduction. So when you retire, as long as you retire when you're old enough, it's 59 and a half, I believe is the age, and you withdraw within like some very basic parameters, you have to be 59 and a half and you have to be making retirement expenses, then your withdrawals are going to be tax-free. You can take out early if you are prepared to pay penalties for it. And some people do that, you know, if they're buying a house or they encounter some kind of hardship. In the retirement phase, though, it's still being developed a little bit. I mean, you can go into an annuity or you can work with an advisor about how to spend it down. But you're, you know, obviously you want to exert some caution and not get too spendy when you're in retirement.
Wall Street Journal contributor Bailey McCann, thanks for joining us.
Of course, thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal.